You're listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network.
Good evening, Northern Virginia and Channel 10. Welcome to Mark Levine's Inside Scoop on Washington, the only nationally syndicated radio talk show heard live right here on television in Northern Virginia. Every Monday on Channel 10 at 7 p.m., you can get all the news from Washington the government does not want you to know. And you can call in and express your own views. It's easy to do, and frankly, there are not many opportunities today for live television where you can express your views on air. You just pick up the phone and dial 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. I do see it as my role right here on the Inside Scoop to give you the news the government does not want you to know. When the government is lying to you, I see it as my job to tell you the truth. And unfortunately, our government has lied to us repeatedly on the war in Iraq. So today, I'm going to interview arguably the most powerful man in the world, certainly the most powerful man in the United States. No, I don't mean the president. He takes orders from this man. I mean the vice president, Dick Cheney, who gave a speech recently before the American Enterprise Institute, a neoconservative institute, where in 20 minutes he purported to defend the entire war on Iraq. And this is a speech that's gotten a lot of press, notably because the vice president does not believe it is legitimate to criticize certain aspects of the war. Oh, he thinks it's fine to say that we shouldn't have gone into Iraq or we should have gone into Iraq. But what he doesn't think is fair is for us to say what exactly I'm going to say right here on TV. And that is that the president lied, misled us to get us into war. And indeed, no one misled us more. No one lied to us more than the vice president of the United States, Dick Cheney. And as we go through his speech, I'm going to be debating him. He'll have his points, I'll have mine, and you'll have yours. All you have to do is call in 877-528-8255. The vice president begins his speech by noting that he thinks it's okay for us to criticize the war, that the Republicans who on the House floor called Congressman Jack Murtha a coward, this Marine veteran of more than 30 years, that they were wrong, in effect. He didn't quite say his Republican colleagues were wrong. He never does say that. But he admitted that Jack Murtha was an honorable man who had a difference of view on the situation in Iraq. And he says it's perfectly fine to criticize the war in Iraq. Now, Vice President Cheney, you'll notice throughout this, calls the war in Iraq the war on terror. He conflates the two. He pretends that they are the same. And what will be interesting as we listen to his speech is to see how, indeed, he considers the war on Iraq actually somehow related to al-Qaeda's attack on the United States. As we now know, all of the intelligence we have, every single bit of it, says, it's beyond question now, that there's no connection of any significance between Saddam Hussein and what happened on September 11th. Indeed, no one seems to believe this except the vice president. Kind of like those Japanese soldiers who, after World War II, would hide in bunkers and they didn't know the war was over and they kept fighting. Vice President Cheney continues to claim, despite the fact that everyone in our intelligence branches said he's wrong, that there somehow is a connection. So I want to start with that speech. And again, he begins saying it's okay to criticize the war on terror. But then listen to what he says is not legitimate. Let's go to the speech.
But nobody is saying we should not be having this discussion or that you cannot re-examine a decision made by the President and the Congress some years ago. To the contrary, I believe it is critical that we continue to remind ourselves why this nation took action and why Iraq is the central front in the war on terror.
So here's what he's saying. He's saying Iraq is the central front in the war on terror. In other words, somehow the fact that al-Qaeda, a bunch of Saudi and Egyptian citizens who got money from Saudi Arabia, who were based in Pakistan and Afghanistan, who murdered 3,000 Americans, somehow made Iraq the central front in the war on terror. Let's see if he proves his case. And when we come back, we're going to talk about his claim further as to what's not legitimate in the war on terror. He's going to say what is not legitimate is the claim that he and the president, everyone in the administration, purposely misled the American people on pre-war intelligence. He'll admit they misled us. He'll admit they told us falsehoods. But it is wrong, Dick Cheney says, to argue it was done purposely. Well, we'll explore that claim right after this break. If you want to call in, you know how to do it. 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. We'll be right back after this.
As time flows on, there are places we return to again and again. Places that comfort us with their serenity. Places that astound us with their beauty. Places where our memories come to life. Precious places, timeless places, places that with your help can endure forever. I'm Paul Newman. Help the Nature Conservancy save the last great places around the world.
And now from Washington, the inside scoop. All the news the government does not want you to hear. Now, here's your host on the Inside Scoop, Mark Levine.
Good evening, America. Welcome to a very special edition of the Inside Scoop, where I take on the most powerful man in America, the Vice President of the United States. That's right, Vice President Dick Cheney, the architect of the war in Iraq, the man who determined long before September 11th, long before, indeed, Bush was selected by a Supreme Court to be president in 2000, he determined we needed to declare war on Iraq, and he divided Iraq into 10 essential oil fields. Now, after September 11th, he connects the war in Iraq to September 11th, and we're going to be exploring what he claims in this speech in the American Enterprise Institute is not legitimate debate. That's right. The Vice President of the United States does not think it is legitimate debate. He calls it reprehensible to do exactly what I'm about to do, which is to say that he purposely misled the American people on pre-war intelligence. He doesn't think we have that right. For Dick Cheney, the First Amendment should be stopped. We should not be allowed to say the president lied to us. Well, I'm afraid that's exactly what I'm going to say all this hour. If you want to call in, agree with me, agree with Dick Cheney, disagree with both of us, just pick up the phone and dial 877-528-TALK. 877-528-8255. Let's go to the Vice President and listen to what he says is not legitimate political discussion here in the United States.
And why we have a duty to persevere. What is not legitimate, and what I will again say is dishonest and reprehensible, is the suggestion by some U.S. senators that the President of the United States or any member of his administration purposely misled the American people on pre-war intelligence.
He says it's not legitimate, folks. It's not legitimate. It is dishonest. It is reprehensible to even suggest that the Bush administration purposely misled the American people on pre-war intelligence. He blames the senators, but Mr. Cheney, the majority of the American people now believe that you and your administration purposely misled us. So you are saying that the majority of the American people are dishonest, reprehensible, and not legitimate. It's a pretty strong claim to make against the majority of your countrymen. How can you argue that we can't even argue that fact? And why is it that you are prohibiting the Congress of the United States from discovering that fact? If you didn't purposely mislead us, Mr. Vice President, shouldn't you give us the evidence to show that, hey, you thought it was true to begin with? Shouldn't you disclose the intelligence that you had? One more comment before I move on to Vice President Cheney. He says it's not legitimate for us to suggest that he purposely misled the American people. He seems to be accepting what we all know to be true. They did mislead us. We all know now there are no weapons of mass destruction. There was no nuclear threat. When Vice President Cheney said that Saddam Hussein had reconstituted nuclear weapons, He was telling us a falsehood. We all know now that they told us falsehoods. But the administration is saying they didn't purposely mislead us. Sure, they misled us. Oops, we went to war. Yes, 2,000 Americans are dead. But it wasn't done purposely. Well, let's hear why he says it wasn't done purposely.
Some of the most irresponsible comments have come from politicians who actually voted in favor of authorizing the use of force against Saddam Hussein. These are elected officials who had access to the intelligence materials. They are known to have a high opinion of their own analytical capabilities. And they were free to reach their own judgments based upon the evidence.
Did you catch that, folks? He didn't say access to the same intelligence materials. No, no, he said access to intelligence materials. See, that's one of those carefully worded phrases that some Republicans would have called 4 years ago Clinton-esque, where he's telling the truth. Yes, they had access to some intelligence materials, but they didn't have access to the same intelligence materials. Did you catch that? Because you might have missed it. In fact, I'm going to try to play it again, if I can. Listen closely. He doesn't say they had access to the same intelligence, only that they had access to intelligence.
Possible comments have come from politicians who actually voted in favor of authorizing the use of force against Saddam Hussein. These are elected officials who had access to the intelligence materials.
They had access to the intelligence materials. They did not have access to the same intelligence materials. One thing we know, for example, is they did not have access to a briefing that the president ordered 10 days after September 11, 2001. That's right, on September 21, 2001, the president insisted that the intelligence agency find for him some connection between Saddam Hussein and the attacks on 9/11. And they looked, and they didn't find it, and he told them to look again. And we know from Richard Clark, he told them a second time to look. Richard Clark said, okay, I'll look again. He came back to the president and said, I'm sorry, Mr. President, there's no connection. And the president told him a third time, look again, look under every rock. In effect, wink, wink, nod, nod, make it up if you have to, but you come back and you find me a connection. Well, finally, they did. September 21st, 2001, they did come back, but they didn't find a connection. And that presidential daily brief is still classified to this day. Not just classified from us, the public, also classified from members of Congress. The Senate Intelligence Committee, Republicans and Democrats, have demanded to see that presidential daily brief, and the president refuses. What could be so important that he's hiding it not just from the American public, but from the Republicans who control the Senate Intelligence Committee? Well, we know from leaked sources that the daily brief says, in fact, no connection between Saddam Hussein and September 11th. If you want to call in, 877-528-TALK. We'll be right back after this.
Mr. DeBruzzo, I'm Ed McMahon, and we're signing up people for...
Yes.
Miss Murphy, Ed McMahon. We're starting up.
Dreams really do come true.
Oh, but it's Dinero.
Ed McMahon, see.
Ed McMahon.
Yes, Ed McMahon. We're having our first ever.
Ed McMahon.
Yes. Tuesday night at the high school. We're starting up the neighborhood watch in this area, and here's all the information.
Stevie, get down here, please.
No, he's just here.
Five, six, seven, eight.
No tango, Danelle. Neighborhood watch. We're having this neighborhood watch, the first one.
Right.
I'll come back.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Start a neighborhood watch. It's just one of the many ways you can help make America stronger. To find out how, call or log on for this free guide.
When I was young, my dad always told me to dream big and dream often.
My mom and dad were always my biggest cheerleaders. I've been very fortunate to have parents that care, but some kids aren't so lucky.
That's why the Major League Baseball players trust for children.
Same with Volunteers of America, to help kids everywhere.
For more than 100 years, Volunteers of America has helped children, families, and many others rebuild their lives.
Our Share With a Child partnership wants you to give kids your time, guidance, and support.
Let's work together to give every child a chance.
Find out how you can help a child dream big.
Call 1-800-899-0089 or visit volunteersofamerica.org.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. One of the reasons why the mainstream media puts so few war critics on the air is that, well, we have the facts on our side. It'd be very hard to trick the entire American people to going to war, to losing 2,100 brave men and women, 10,000 wounded, to kill tens of thousands of Iraqi civilians. It would be very hard to trick them if they had an honest portrayal of what went on. So there are very few shows like my own where we actually tell you the news the government does not want you to know. Everything I say can be backed up. If you don't believe me, you want my sources, just call in 877-528-8255, or you can always check out on my blog at www.radioinsidescoop.com. Today I'm confronting the leading architect of the war, the most persuasive, if you will, though I don't think he's that persuasive, member of the administration arguing why we should be in Iraq. The leader, if you will, of the free world, Vice President Dick Cheney. And he's going on telling us why it was that Saddam Hussein was such a threat. You've heard these arguments before, but have you heard each of them refuted? Let's go right to the tape.
They concluded, as the President and I had concluded, and as the previous administration had concluded, that Saddam Hussein was a threat.
Now, did you catch that? He says Saddam Hussein was a threat. A threat. Doesn't say it's the worst threat. Doesn't say it's the greatest threat. It was a threat. I've often compared September 11th and Saddam Hussein to the difference between a lion trying to eat you and a nest of bees. You don't like the nest of bees, and yes, they can sting you, but when a lion is ravaging you and trying to kill you and your family, do you really want to go shoot that hornet's nest? Excuse me, bees, wasps, whatever it is. Do you want to shoot a hornet's nest and let them all fly out and then have a greater problem to deal with? Yes, Saddam Hussein was a threat. Saudi Arabia is a threat. North Korea is a threat. Iraq is a threat. Algeria is a threat. Sudan is a threat. Liberia is a threat. Pakistan is a threat. Indonesia is a threat. Frankly, I could go on and name 20 other threats to the United States. But was Saddam Hussein enough of a threat to justify going to war? Was he enough of a threat to take troops out from the hunt to kill the real threat, Osama bin Laden, Al-Qaeda, and instead move them to attack a guy who, frankly, President Clinton had dealt with already? Yes, he was a threat, and yes, President Clinton in the 90s had pretty much had him tightly under control. Let's hear more as the Vice President of the United States rewrites history.
Available intelligence indicated that the dictator of Iraq had weapons of mass destruction.
He did have weapons of mass destruction in the 90s, but not in 2002. Come on, Dick Cheney, you know better.
And this judgment was shared by the intelligence agencies of many other nations, according to the bipartisan Silberman-Robb Commission.
The Silberman-Robb Commission, you may recall, there was a presidential executive order saying what they could study and what they couldn't study. And what were they not allowed to study was how the administration used intelligence, or what most of us believe, manipulated intelligence. That was verboten. No, Americans could not know what their government was doing. In a free country, in a democracy, you have no right to know what your government is doing. I'm sorry, you just have to trust them. Silberman-Robb Commission was not allowed to study how the administration used the intelligence. Let's hear what else he has to say.
All of us understood as well that for more than a decade, the UN Security Council had demanded that Saddam Hussein make a full accounting of his weapons programs. The burden of proof was entirely on the dictator of Iraq, not on the UN or the United States or anyone else. And he repeatedly refused to comply throughout the course of the decade.
Now, notice what he's saying here. The burden of proof was on Saddam Hussein. In other words, when you do a preemptive war, when you attack a country that's never attacked you, the burden of proof is on that country to show why it shouldn't be attacked. I want you to think about that policy here, folks. Here's the policy. We won't attack you if you meet your burden of proof by showing us why you shouldn't be attacked. Otherwise, it's perfectly fair for us to attack you. Do you think that that's a justified policy? Do you think it would be good if that were applied to the United States? Remember the former Soviet Union? We'll attack you, United States, unless you give us a reason why we shouldn't attack you. Come on, folks. If the United Nations thought Saddam Hussein was a problem, the United Nations could have passed a resolution to deal with it. But guess what, folks? We went to the United Nations, and they knew the truth, that Saddam Hussein wasn't a major problem, and they refused to support us. Maybe that should have told us something. Let's go back and hear how he rewrites history some more.
Permit me to burden you with a bit more history. In August of 1998, the U.S. Congress passed a resolution urging President Clinton take appropriate action to compel Saddam to come into compliance with his obligations to the Security Council. Not a single senator voted no. 2 months later, in October of 98, again without a single dissenting vote in the United States Senate, the Congress passed the Iraq Liberation Act. It explicitly adopted as American policy supporting efforts to remove Saddam Hussein's regime from power and promoting an Iraqi democracy in its place.
And let me just say, I think the Iraqi Liberation Act is a very good act. Let's talk about what it did. It said that we should take appropriate action to compel Saddam Hussein to comply with United Nations resolutions. Well, that makes sense. We should take appropriate action to force him to compel. And indeed, when he refused to let inspectors in the 90s, Bill Clinton did the right thing. He bombed the last remaining stocks, known stocks, of chemical and biological weapons. That was absolutely appropriate. It was also appropriate, I think, to help support the Iraqi people in removing the Saddam Hussein regime. Absolutely. They should be supported. In fact, when the Kurds and the Shiites had a revolt against George Bush Sr., I think George Bush should have helped the Iraqis overthrow their own government. He didn't do that. But here's the part that Dick Cheney's not telling you is in the Iraqi Liberation Act. In the act itself, it says nothing in this act shall be construed to authorize the U.S. use of force. Now that's important. That's something Dick Cheney didn't tell you. If you want to call in, if you want to comment, agree with Dick Cheney or myself, disagree with both of us, pick up the phone, dial 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. We'll be right back after this.
This is Mommy's bed. Me and Jenny were jumping on it. Mommy's gun fell on the floor. I was a cowboy. Bang, 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 bang. I said, Jenny, wake up, it's just pretend. But she wouldn't wake up.
If you give me a fish...
If you give someone a fish...
You feed them for a day.
Teach someone to fish.
You feed them for a lifetime.
Give me a fish, and you'll feed me for a day. Teach me to fish, and you'll feed me for a lifetime.
Through Volunteers of America, you can help change lives in your community.
Hey, mister, studied algebra in school and got a better job than I could. You take the last cut.
Oh, no, mister. Stuck in an entry-level job because you only learn basic math. I don't have a boss riding my butt like you do, so you take it so you can get back to your desk.
You know, I probably should, but maybe Miss AP Calculus with her $200 haircut in the big office upstairs would like a cup.
Oh, no, mister. What was your name again? Never mind, it doesn't matter. I'm too busy doing important things to care. I just came down for some sweetness, sir.
You know, if my limited math abilities weren't keeping me from getting a better job, I'd quit this afternoon.
I don't blame you. But thank goodness you're stuck here because we really need someone to make the coffee.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. Vice President Saddam Hussein, the architect of the war in Iraq, is attempting to rewrite history. And he did so in a recent speech before the American Enterprise Institute. And the same administration that claims to detest Bill Clinton in every aspect actually turns out to be praising him as he rewrites the history of what Bill Clinton did on Iraq. But there are things that he's not telling you. And heck, that's why I'm here, to give you the news the government does not want you to know. Let's go back to the speech by Vice President Cheney.
And just 2 months after signing the Iraq Liberation Law, President Clinton ordered that Iraq be bombed in an effort to destroy facilities that he believed were connected to Saddam's weapons of mass destruction programs.
Here's what Vice President Cheney didn't tell you. Bill Clinton, after those bombings in 1998, which, by the way, at the time, I don't know if you remember this, the Republicans roundly condemned those bombings because, you see, at the time, they were trying to impeach Bill Clinton for having an illicit relationship with Monica Lewinsky. And they argued that his bombing of Iraq was not done to protect American security, but was a secret, nasty effort to take America's attention off of what really mattered, and that is Monica Lewinsky's blue dress. That was the focus of the Republicans at that time. Not Iraq, not national security, but what was on her blue dress. And they roundly condemned Bill Clinton for attacking Iraq. But here's what Vice President Cheney didn't tell you. He didn't tell you that after bombing those plants, Bill Clinton came on TV and said that these are the last known stocks of chemical and biological weapons. We had actually destroyed more of Saddam Hussein's chemical and biological weapons under Bill Clinton after the Persian Gulf War than even during the entire Persian Gulf War, because the inspectors, in a time of peace and sanctions, could find and discover every piece of chemical and biological weapon material out there and destroy it. He did a terrific job. Thank you, Bill Clinton. And since 1998, there's no evidence Iraq has had any chemical, biological, or nuclear weapons. But he goes on to rewrite history. Let's listen to more.
By the time Congress voted to authorize force in late 2002, there was broad-based bipartisan agreement that the time had come to enforce the legitimate demands of the international community.
Now, he says there was broad-based bipartisan agreement, but it wasn't to authorize the use of force. I don't know how many people have actually read that resolution, but I was working in Congress when that resolution came to the floor. The Democrats refused what the Republicans wanted, which was a formal declaration of war. They wanted us to declare war against Saddam Hussein. The Democrats said, well, we think sanctions should be given a chance to succeed. The inspectors are being allowed in now, in 2002. They should have a chance to succeed. Well, the Republicans came up with an argument that was convincing to a lot of Democrats. They said, look, in order for sanctions to succeed, you got to have a credible threat of the use of force. For example, a union that wants to do well in negotiations might vote to strike, not because they want to strike, but because they want to have that threat. You might have a litigation where you say, if you don't give me what I want, I'll sue. Similarly, the authorization of the use of force says that the president is required to explain to Congress why it is that sanctions didn't work. And if sanctions didn't work, why it is, report back, and then authorize the use of force as a last resort. The president to this day has never explained why the sanctions, along with all the inspectors in Iraq, did not work to stop the weapons of mass destruction. But it's important to note that authorization of the use of force, whether you supported it or not, was not a declaration of war. It was war as a last resort. Really, the mistake of the Democrats was entrusting the president to follow the law, and that they were sorely mistaken. Now Vice President Cheney moves on to his next justification, and that is September 11th. I don't know if you want to count how many times he says September 11th in his speech, but when you think about the fact that Saddam Hussein has nothing to do with September 11th, it's amazing how many times he talks about that important date. Let's listen.
And our thinking was informed by what had happened to our country on the morning of September 11th, 2001. As the prime target of terrorists who have shown an ability to hit America and who wish to do so in spectacular fashion, we have a responsibility to do everything we can to keep terrible weapons out of the hands of these enemies.
I couldn't agree more. That's why when I was in Congress, I worked on a bill to promote homeland security. It would provide billions of dollars to buy up loose nukes being sold in the former Soviet Union, some of them reaching the hands of terrorists, to protect our chemical and nuclear plants from exactly the kind of attack that caused September 11th. The president threatened to veto that bill. He felt that protecting American land, the United States, from a nuclear, chemical, or biological attack was not as important as his tax cuts, was not as important as the war in Iraq. So why is it the vice president, who claims to care about American security, who claims to care about an attack on United States soil, chemical, biological, or nuclear, why does the administration want to veto that bill? We'll hear from him right after this.
You've probably heard about heart disease, but did you know that it's the number one killer of women nationwide? Some of these women may have it and not even know it. Heart disease claims more lives each year than breast cancer, lung cancer, or strokes combined. But there are steps you can take to protect yourself against it. While not smoking, daily exercise, and a nutritious diet are good for your health, they're critical in the fight against heart disease. Most important, get regular checkups and ask your doctor about risk factors, especially if you're over 40, when the risk of heart disease increases dramatically. For more information on how you can prevent heart disease, contact your local American Heart Association or visit their website at www.americanheart.org. It's never too late to protect your heart health. Start now.
Magellan!
Magellan? No. But who knows what Magellan did?
Sail around the world!
Right! Now.
Sometimes, a child who doesn't seem interested is really a child with a speech or hearing problem.
Blackbeard? Who said Blackbeard? And what did Blackbeard do?
He was a pirate!
Time and again, it's been shown that a young student's ability to read and learn begins with speech and language and hearing skills.
Jamie, are you with us? Who can tell us?
He wanted to go to India.
Many communication disorders can be detected early and corrected, so learning and literacy skills can develop normally. Make sure your child has the speech, language, and hearing abilities to keep up in class. For more information, visit ASHA.org, a public service message from the American Speech, Language, Hearing Association and this station.
We're
on a new route to Asia!
Good.
They came from every corner of the country. From small towns and big cities. But they all shared one thing in common. They belonged to a family called Marines. A tough and determined few, dedicated to protecting everything we hold sacred. And still, they come. Celebrate the history of those proud few who have earned the title Marine.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. The architect of the war in Iraq is the Vice President of the United States. No one more than he has worked so hard to defend us being there. And as he rewrites the history of why we're there, it's important for you to understand what he says is truthful and what he says is untruthful. And one of his biggest untruths, I'm afraid, is the fact that he didn't manipulate intelligence in order to get us there in the first place. Let's go back to Vice President's speech at the American Enterprise Institute as he tries to describe why we're fighting this war in Iraq.
And we must hold to account regimes that could supply those weapons to terrorists in defiance of the civilized world.
Now, this is interesting. He wants to hold into account regimes that would supply weapons of mass destruction to terrorists. I agree. I think that's an important idea. Why haven't we held North Korea to account or Iran to account? Those are regimes who supplied weapons of mass destruction to terrorists. But what the intelligence showed is that Saddam refused to do this. That's right. According to the exact Dolfer report, which the vice president talks about, he said that the top secret report said, quote, Baghdad appears to be drawing a line short of conducting terrorist attacks with conventional or weapons of mass destruction against the United States, fearing that exposure of Iraqi involvement would provide Washington with a stronger case for making war. You see, the threat of war actually prevented Saddam Hussein from doing exactly what Dick Cheney feared. Now here's the kicker. Now that we're there, we have invited al-Qaeda into a territory where they didn't used to be, and now terrorists actually can conduct attacks from Iraq that they couldn't do before. We are indeed far less safe than we were before we went into the war, into Iraq. Let's go back to Dick Cheney.
As the president has said, terrorists and terror states do not reveal threats with fair notice in formal declarations. And responding to such enemies only after they have struck first is not self-defense. It is suicide.
Therefore,
in a post-9/11 world, the President and Congress of the United States declined to trust the word of a dictator who had a history of weapons of mass destruction programs, who actually used weapons of mass destruction against innocent civilians in his own country, who tried to assassinate a former president of the United States.
Let's just stop right there, okay? Because when he talks about the fact that Saddam Hussein did use these weapons against his own people, he neglects to mention a small but I think important point. We supported him when he did that. Ronald Reagan and George Bush Sr. supported Saddam Hussein's use of chemical weapons against the innocent Kurds. In fact, Don Rumsfeld went and shook his hand and opened relations with Iraq soon after those attacks. Why? Well, in the geopolitics of the time, Iraq was fighting Iran. Iran was against the United States. So if Iraq had to kill some of its own citizens who were supporting Iran in order to fight the war with Iran, we were willing to look the other way. We were also willing to let American companies sell to Iraq the very chemical weapons that Dick Cheney is complaining about today. So think about it. Dick Cheney was head of a company called Halliburton. Companies like that were making billions of dollars selling chemical weapons to Iraq. And now he complains that the fact that we sold Saddam Hussein weapons along with the Russians and the French that he used against his own people that we supported now is grounds for taking him out. Kind of strange, don't you think? Let's go back to his justifications.
Was routinely shooting at Allied pilots trying to enforce no-fly zones.
Yes, yes, Iraq was shooting at planes flying over his sovereign territory, enforcing no-fly zones. You know, I actually supported the no-fly zones, but is this really the crime for which we invaded? Do you think if America shot down a foreign plane over our soil, do you think that that would be grounds for another country to invade us? Think about how what we say looks to the Iraqi people.
Who had excluded weapons inspectors, who had defied the demands of the international community.
Yes, Saddam Hussein had excluded weapons inspectors in the 90s. That's why Bill Clinton bombed them. But you know what? In 01 and 02, they allowed those inspectors in. He's actually trying to rewrite history. He's trying to play with your memory, but you saw it and I saw it. Saddam Hussein allowed inspectors to go anywhere they wanted in 2002, and we invaded anyway.
Whose regime had been designated an official state sponsor of terror.
And along with Syria, Iran, North Korea, Cuba, in fact. There are lots of state support that support terror. And we should do our best to stop them. But the question is, should we invade them all, or only the ones that happen to have oil?
And who had committed mass murder. Those are the facts.
Mass murder.
Although our coalition...
Now, let's just... The mass murder, that's a pretty strong statement. Saddam Hussein committed mass murder. We have now killed tens of thousands of innocent Iraqi civilians. Nobody disputes this. The Pentagon doesn't dispute this. And I recognize that our American soldiers did not purposely intend to kill these civilians. But I could see how someone could argue that our president is a war criminal, that our president has committed mass murder. I mean, the thousands of Kurds that Saddam Hussein killed was awful, and it was done with American support. Doesn't that make us complicit in the same mass murder? Think about that.
Has not found WMD stockpiles in Iraq. I repeat that we never had the burden of proof. Saddam Hussein did. We operated on the best available intelligence, gathered over a period of years and within a totalitarian society ruled by fear and secret police.
Operate on the best available intelligence, but didn't share the best available intelligence with you folks, right? Let's explore the differences in the national intelligence estimate between what the president knew and what they told you. In the public version of the report, it says that most analysts assess Iraq is reconstituting its nuclear weapons program. It says, if left unchecked, it will probably have a nuclear weapon within this decade. But what did they tell you in the exact same report? That's what they told you in the report. But what did they tell the president? They told the president, quote, the activities we have detected do not add up to a compelling case that Iraq is currently pursuing what the State Department would consider to be an integrated and comprehensive approach to acquiring nuclear weapons. Iraq may be doing so, but the State Department considers the available evidence inadequate to support such a judgment. While they told the public it could happen within a decade, they told the president that they're unwilling, quote, to project a timeline for the completion of activities it does not now see happening. Again and again and again, whatever they told the president, which was the best available evidence, they didn't tell you. I understand I've got someone on the phone now, Jim from Fairfax, Virginia. Jim, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing good.
Look, I don't understand why you take these snippets and don't focus on the broader pictures in Iraq and the broader goals of these the mission that took place there.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm not editing what the vice president said. I'm going through, I'm explaining it as he says it, but I haven't cut out any of his speech.
Now, Mark, this is my first time watching you on television, and frankly, I'm not familiar with you. And I apologize if I don't know your background. Did you, in fact, serve in Congress?
I worked as a legislative counsel for the House of Representatives.
Okay.
I was
right.
Not a member of Congress, but I
all
worked.
I appreciate that.
Sure.
I mean, so you saw the political workings on both sides.
Yes, I did.
And I mean, wouldn't you agree that we need to, you know, flush a lot of this nonsense?
When you say flush a lot of this nonsense, I think we need to get to the bottom of it. You know, one of the most interesting things is this September 21st presidential daily brief that the Senate Intelligence Committee has demanded, and the president refuses to show, but has been leaked to say that it showed that there was no connection between Saddam Hussein and 9/11. If the president did not intentionally mislead us, why won't he allow the Intelligence Committee, which can see classified information, to see this information? Vice President Cheney is acting as if the Senate had the same intelligence he had, and he knows that's false, so he's misleading us again, don't you think?
You don't think we should have gone to Iraq?
I think if we had known the intelligence now that the president knew then, I think virtually no one would have thought we should go into Iraq. That's right. Because Iraq did not have weapons of mass destruction, and because we had a very important threat. We had Al-Qaeda. We had Osama bin Laden. They had just killed 3,000 Americans. I think to remove troops, and we removed 90% of our troops. Remember, there's 10 times the troops in Iraq that there are in Afghanistan. To put 10 times the focus on Saddam Hussein and one-tenth of the focus on the guy that murdered 3,000 Americans, I think, frankly, that's not defending America like he should have. You disagree. You think that Saddam Hussein was more important than Osama.
I think the whole system needs a political BS.
Well, it is. That's part of the problem. We need to find out what happened. Toll-free numbers, 877-528-TALK. We'll be right back with Vice President Cheney and your calls right after this.
Sweetheart, smoke outside now. You promised.
Okay, hon.
Sweetheart, smoke outside now. You promised.
What kind of man are you?
I'm a father.
Look here, my father was a father, and he smoked his brains out in the house.
Watch as he blows those smoke rings on my little red face.
You probably have asthma.
Asthma? I'm telling you, nothing's going to happen to your kids.
Don't swear when you're lying. You know very well that thousands of kids get bronchitis, ear infections, and even pneumonia from their parents' cigarette smoke. And didn't you promise your little angels you'd smoke outside?
Hey, Daddy.
Those little devils are just so sweet.
Do the right thing.
Please, smoke outside.
Until you can stop, go out for your kids.
Take the pledge. Call 1-800-513-1157.
Challenge to join the elite and
if you succeed, if you can master your fear, outsmart your enemy, and never yield, even to yourself, you will be changed forever. The few, the proud, the Marines.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I am debating the architect of the war in Iraq, the most powerful man in the government today, Vice President Dick Cheney, from a recent speech he gave before the American Enterprise Institute. Let's listen more to the speech.
Finally, according to the Dulfer report, Saddam Hussein wanted to preserve the capability to reconstitute his weapons of mass destruction when sanctions were lifted. And we now know that the sanctions regime had lost its effectiveness and been...
Now catch that. Did you get that? He says, the Dover report said that Saddam Hussein wanted to reconstitute his weapons when sanctions were lifted. And then he says the sanctions had lost their effectiveness. Well, Vice President Cheney, excuse me for interrupting, but if the sanctions were keeping Iraq from reconstituting his weapons, they hadn't lost their effectiveness. In fact, they were working quite well. The report says so. Notice how in the same sentence he says, well, yeah, the sanctions were keeping him from developing any weapons, but they were ineffective. Ineffective. I think they work very well.
Totally undermined by Saddam Hussein's successful effort to corrupt the oil for food program.
Which our companies also successfully profited from, including your company, Halliburton. Congratulations, Dick Cheney.
The flaws in the intelligence are plain enough in hindsight, but any suggestion that pre-war information was distorted, hyped, or fabricated by the leader of the nation is utterly false. Senator John McCain put it best, it is a lie to say that the president lied to the American people.
And that, my friends, is a lie. It is a lie to say it's a lie to say that he lied. Yes, the president clearly lied to the American people because we know he told us things that were false, and we know that he knew they were false when he said so. That is the definition of a lie. And note how that Vice President says it has no place in American politics.
American soldiers and Marines serving in Iraq go out every day into some of the most dangerous and unpredictable conditions. Meanwhile, back in the United States, a few politicians are suggesting these brave Americans were sent into battle for a deliberate falsehood. This is revisionism of the most corrupt and shameless variety. It has no place anywhere in American politics.
No place in American politics. To suggest we went to war on a mistake has no place in American politics. When 2,100 innocent men and women who are struggling hard to save their country are trying to help their country by fighting a war in Iraq, and if it turns out the whole thing was a mistake, it has no place in American politics? Come on, Mr. Vice President. Let me hear from you. John in New York City. John, welcome to the Inside Scoop. John, are you there?
How you doing?
I'm doing good. John, what's your comment?
Oh, my comment is we should all come together in this fight against terrorism as United Americans to help our soldiers out so they can come home sooner. And one of the things I've done is created a website called fight-terrorists, with an S at the end, .com. If anyone goes to it, scroll down to the bottom, you can click on the goals button. In essence, the website is going to be enticing terrorists to become anonymous inside informants through the website membership.
You know, John, I've seen your website, and I know you're offering a reward, but it just sounds like a way for you to make some money there. I don't know. Let me go on to Gordon in Michigan. Gordon, welcome to the Inside Scoop. Gordon, are you there? I know I'm switching a little fast. Gordon, let me see if I can...
Yeah, Mark.
Yes.
Oh, boy, that John came on there. I don't want to talk about him, but I just want to just make the comment that, Cheney's whole argument indicts himself, seemingly, and as this whole scenario about Iraq plays out, who is more of a threat to the United States, Saddam Hussein or Dick Cheney?
Well, that's actually one of the interesting questions. I mean, when he goes on at the end of the speech, which we won't have time to go into this hour, he goes into the speech talking about how they hate our liberties for which we stand. And I remember thinking, Well, who hates liberties for which we stand more than Dick Cheney? He's the guy that wants to put people in jail without a trial. He's the guy that wants to say that certain things are not legitimate political discussion. He wants to say, he's the one that wants to say that we can torture people, that that's an American value. If there's anyone that hates our liberties and freedom, I think it's Dick Cheney. You're right,
Dick Gordon. Calls people patriots. He tries to call people patriots, but he's the most precipitous traitor.
Right, that's the other thing, of course, is the treason that he committed in the Valerie Plame affair. You're absolutely right.
But is it, he's seemingly conceding. They're conceding the fact, they're conceding things that they wouldn't have conceded 2 years ago. Let's say that.
Well, that's true. I mean, they concede they misled us. I mean, this is actually, we've actually moved the ball forward. Initially, they insisted they were telling us the truth. Now they say, okay, we lied to you, but we didn't do it intentionally. But please, we can't end the war now because, well, it's too late. Yes, we accidentally got you into war. Yes, 2,100 Americans are accidentally dead. Tens of thousands of Iraqi civilians, oops, we killed them. Hundreds of billions of dollars are wasted, whoops. But now that it's happened, we can't get out of it because we're stuck there. Frankly, it sounds to me a lot like Vietnam.
So I'm thinking, as this thing plays itself out, are they actually going to concede the true purpose for being there? Are they actually going to admit to the American people that we went there trying to get cheap oil for the U.S.?
Never. They will never admit that, Gordon.
Only when they're behind bars, right?
Well, maybe then. Maybe not even then. That's exactly right. They can't admit it because in some ways they have fooled themselves, Gordon. You know, it's like Joe McCarthy, who originally didn't have any fighting communists in the State Department, but taught himself that it was true. This is exactly the case. They actually, I believe this, Gordon, maybe not Dick Cheney because he's a crafty one, but many of the people who support the war actively believe that we went there for legitimate reasons. And the amazing thing is now that you have to debate not over whether they lied to us, but whether they intentionally lied to us or not, it's amazing there are still people like those at the American Enterprise Institute still willing to clap for Dick Cheney. We'll be right back with the end of the Inside Scoop right after this.
I think you should wear a tie.
Dad, nobody wears ties to school.
Tie says you're serious. It'll make a good impression. And remember, you're there to study,
to learn, and to make something of myself. I got it.
Almost half of all UNCF students are the first in their family to go to college.
They have some great architecture classes.
Dad, I'm not really interested in architecture.
Well, keep your options open. And remember, no girls until your
work is done.
And I'd make sure that I got my
lunch. Dad, you're not going. I am.
I know.
Listen, you better get going. Don't want to be late the first day in.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And when you're the first to go, you're going for a lot of people. The United Negro College Fund. A mind is a terrible thing to waste.
Magellan? No. But who knows what Magellan did?
Sail around the world.
Right. Now.
Sometimes, a child who doesn't seem interested is really a child with a speech or hearing problem.
Blackbeard? Who said Blackbeard? And what did Blackbeard do? He was a
pirate.
Time and again, it's been shown that a young student's ability to read and learn begins with speech and language and hearing skills.
Jamie, are you with us? Who can tell us?
He wanted to go to India.
Many communication disorders can be detected early and corrected, so learning and literacy skills can develop normally. Make sure your child has the speech, language, and hearing abilities to keep up in class. For more information, visit ASHA.org. A public service message from the American Speech Language Hearing Association and this station.
For a new route to
Asia.
Good.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. We have just a few minutes left of my debate, as it were, with Vice President Cheney. Now, I'd love to have him on the show. If he wants to come here, he's welcome any time to debate me on air. As it is, I have to go to his speech before the American Enterprise Institute. I'm not going to have time in this hour to play it all, but I want to recommend to you the speech. It's important to hear the justifications the government gives so that you know why we're in Iraq. Because, frankly, when you take each of these justifications and you refute each and every one of them, you have to come to the conclusion, as Gordon said, we're really there for three letters, O-I-L, for oil. Let's go back to a little bit more of Dick Cheney's speech.
Ultimate ambitions. To arm themselves with weapons of mass destruction. To destroy Israel. To intimidate all Western countries. And to cause mass death in the United States. Some have suggested that by liberating Iraq from Saddam Hussein, we simply stirred up a hornet's nest. They overlook a fundamental fact. We were not in Iraq on September 11th, 2001, and the terrorists hit us anyway.
Now that's an important
point. The reality is that terrorists...
I want you to catch that here. We should not have attacked the hornet's nest because the lion attacked us anyway. You see, it's a very strange thing, and it has to do with this weird conflation in their mind of September 11th and Saddam Hussein. Here it is. All the evidence says it's not true. The president repeatedly sent people to find it. There was none. So what he's saying is the lion attacked us, right? Therefore, we have to destroy the hornet's nest. Why are we destroying the hornet's nest? Because if the hornet's nest didn't exist, the lion never would have attacked us. Does that make sense to you? Here, Saddam Hussein did not want to work with al-Qaeda. We know that now. We know from the intelligence that Saddam Hussein had no connection with al-Qaeda. His only connection, ironically, was an attempt to spy on al-Qaeda because he feared them and didn't want them taking over Iraq. In other words, the strongest we had against al-Qaeda was right there in Iraq. We didn't like Saddam Hussein, but it was his goal to try to prevent al-Qaeda from coming in. So, what's Vice President Cheney saying? Because Saddam Hussein exists, al-Qaeda attacked us. And yet that's exactly what our intelligence says is untrue. And he's trying to put one over on you. And, of course, it's clear that it's all a lie. Gordon, you got one last comment for me.
Cheney's motive in being a traitor. Is it much money? Is it just money?
I think that's what I want to know. What is his motive? I think it's largely money. I think he knows that his friends in the energy industry will do very well. In fact, we talked about the fact on another show, as you know, Gordon, that Ahmed Chalabi stands to make hundreds of millions of dollars in selling Iraqi oil to American oil companies. But I do think it's more than that. I think that some neocons actively believe, and I don't know about Cheney, he's a shifty one, maybe Paul Wolfowitz is a true believer, actively fought what Chalabi told them, which is that we were going to walk into Iraq, we'd be greeted as liberators, they would throw flowers at our feet, and they would let us control the country. I think some of them actually believed it would be true. And now that they know it's not true, it's humana humana. They don't know how to get out of it. But that's
so
my view.
They really thought they could get cheap oil there, and now they're going to realize that oil isn't really that cheap.
That's right, because while it's cheap to the oil companies, it's a huge cost in American blood and dollars. Thank you very much for your call, Gordon. I do appreciate it. We've got tomorrow a very important show where I'm going to be debating Jim Greenfield. Jim Greenfield is the host of another Talk Star show, and we're going to be talking about these issues and really anything else you want to talk about. I just want to conclude with a little bit more of Dick Cheney. I don't know if we have time for that. Let's see.
We're at war with our country long before the liberation of Iraq and long before the attacks of 9/11. And for many years, they were the ones on the offensive.
Now, did you catch that? First he says September 11th causes it, and then he says we're at war with Iraq long before September 11th. I wish he could get his story straight. I wish the Vice President could explain to us why we are in Iraq. That's it for the Inside Scoop. Tune in tomorrow, 7 p.m. This is Mark Levine signing off.
You're listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area. what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show. The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Oh, yeah. And so glad to be with you today. Here we are on a gorgeous Tuesday afternoon in Southwest Florida, coming to you from the blue waters and sandy beaches of Southwest Florida. I hope it's a nice day where you're at as well. God, I couldn't wait to get back to the show this weekend. So much happened, and first of all, you know I'm a happy guy. All of you football fans know I'm a happy guy because I've mentioned many times that I'm a big Ohio State Buckeye fan. Those are my boys, and they did me right proud over the weekend, over the Texas Longhorns. Great game. Way to go, Bucks. Go, Bucks. Anyway, enough for the sports news. There was plenty of other news to go along with it, too. Lots and lots and lots to talk about today. We do hope you'll join us here on the show today. 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254. God, you know, I don't know where to begin today. There was so much that happened over the weekend. I really don't. First of all, Friday